You're listening to Work in Progress. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief of Working Nation. Work in Progress explores the rapidly changing workplace through conversations with innovators, educators, and decision-makers, people with solutions to today's workforce challenges.
Tens of millions of Americans have lost their jobs during this global health crisis, now economic crisis. But even in the midst of this pandemic, there are industries looking for skilled workers. In this episode, we're talking about where those jobs are and how you can prepare yourself for them. Joining me in the discussion is Jacob Hsu, CEO of Catalyte, a company that helps businesses find and develop tech talent. Jake, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Ramona. It's great to be here.
You know, before we talk a little bit about where we're going, I'd like to hear your thoughts on where we've been in the country in terms of reskilling. That's an important part of the topic today, reskilling, and why we've been needing this to happen to the workforce.
Yes, well, reskilling, it's not a new concept, but I think that what technology enables us to do now is to do it a lot more precisely, a lot more predictably and consistently. Really what's happened, I think, is really beginning in the 80s, right, when companies were really rushing towards globalization and outsourcing, when you sort of people were getting on the Toyota just-in-time manufacturing bandwagon, you know, everything started getting very transactional. It started first with factories and blue-collar workers, and then it's now, of course, moving into the white collars and into professional ranks. And ultimately, if we think about what's happened in this mad rush to get more efficient, to be able to sort of, frankly, ultimately get more transactional around for companies, we've become very transactional about people, about the workforce. And because of that, you know, as we know, companies are now have a lot more flexibility in how they do with the workforce. But at the same time, they're not really doing much in terms of developing the workforce. And so if you think back to really kind of what was driving the economy, right, post-World War II in America, a lot of it was employers. They were hiring people because of aptitude, because of potential, and they were training them for the skills. Now, you fast forward, I think what's happened is if you look today, most companies have essentially abdicated their workforce development to markets, right, to labor markets. And there's lots of different types of markets that you can tap into out there. Obviously, everybody knows LinkedIn, right? I mean, essentially, companies have essentially built their entire recruiting business on LinkedIn. The challenge with that is that the labor market doesn't really work, right? And you know, it works pretty well for the third of Americans who have four-year degrees and have professional experiences. By the way, it works even better for those who went to sort of fancier schools and went to work in sort of name brand companies. But it doesn't work for the two-thirds of Americans who don't have four-year degrees. Right. And I think what's happened is that as we've sort of continued to sort of automate a lot of the workforce development things that people have built on these markets and these platforms, it's essentially we're reinforcing really this gap, the skills gap in the economy.
I think what you're saying is so important, but I don't feel that all employers are thinking in this direction, though, right?
That's right. If you think about what's really kind of exacerbating, what's accelerating the skills gap, is the fact that skills are becoming more and more transitory. You think about the profession of being a software engineer, right? If you're a software engineer and all you knew was the technology that you learned in a university, you'd be obsolete in 2 to 4 years. Every 2 to 4 years, there's some new technology, some new platform, some new architecture that completely upends the way that people were actually doing engineering work before. So the profession of being an engineer is one of continuous learning, continuous acquisition of new skills and technologies. And you know, having this growth mindset is so important, right? And I think what you're seeing is that today, if you look at the jobs of the future, they're all gonna be jobs like that where you're constantly changing and evolving. So this idea of sort of a labor market being able to keep up with that just isn't realistic, right? Think about the top 10, the top 10 most in-demand jobs today. Well, 6 of them didn't exist a decade ago, right? So how is a labor market going to be able to anticipate? A labor market is sort of a snapshot in time, right? It tells you what are the skills available at this very moment. But think about right now, right? We're in the midst of COVID. Think about contact tracers, right? This is a job that did not exist until 3 months ago. And all of a sudden now we need to potentially create millions of contact tracers, right? I mean, there's probably hundreds and thousands per every city if you ever want to turn the lights back on again. that's not something a labor market can actually create. Right? Labor markets are just a place where you can transaction and find, you know, connect supply with demand. The challenge is that, you know, we aren't really replenishing the supply of those skills that are most in demand. So today, when you think about this labor market, we focus a lot on unemployment, which is a huge, huge problem, right? But there's also a demand side, right? If you talk to most companies, they'll probably give you a number of positions that they just perpetually cannot find people for. There are jobs and careers out there that just they cannot find people, right? So it's both a supply and a demand problem that reskilling and retraining can actually start to address and solve that problem.
So Catalyte is addressing this reskilling issue through a new exchange called Retrain America. Can you tell me a little bit about this?
Yes. Well, Retrain America, it's an exchange that connects anyone, regardless of their background, education, or prior experience, with an opportunity to be retrained for jobs of the future. And why did we launch this site? Catalyte, you know, our core business is around software engineering. But we recognize not everybody is going to necessarily become a software engineer for the future. So during COVID, we saw just the growing unemployment problem, and we decided to essentially open source, you know, the entire talent development framework that underlies our whole technology and approach, and essentially then find other partners that we can plug and play to essentially help people get retrained for careers across a number of industries. Healthcare, cybersecurity, even civil engineering. And so we've set up retrainamerica.com. There, people looking for retraining can register and let us know what they're looking to do. At the same time, we're working with corporate training and government partners to aggregate the latest information about what's available. And then we'll send that information to individuals and we direct those individuals to our partners. The goal here, actually, it's not a tuition-based program, so there's no tuition. The goal really is to make this free or nearly free for anybody who is looking to go through a retraining program. And the goal really is to bring employers on board who are going to essentially sponsor and help sort of people get into those jobs and those careers of the future. Ultimately, any employer can join. What we're really asking them to do is to really make a very public pledge that they are going to essentially give people an opportunity, right, regardless of their background. So don't automatically disqualify people because they don't have certain types of experience or because they lack sort of the traditional pedigree or credentials, but give people an opportunity and let's get people retrained for those potential jobs of the future.
What kind of jobs have come up so far and what kind of partners do you have right now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we have a number of partners from some of the largest companies. Like, for example, we have CareFirst, which is a big healthcare company here. Exelon, you know, a very large utilities company, all the way down to sort of very cutting edge startups like a ProTennis or a MindGrub or Fearless. So we even have the city of Baltimore, for example, on board, right? And actually, the city of Baltimore was one of the first employers that stepped up. They actually have opened up a number of IT jobs that we are actually now retraining people to become fellows that they can actually then go essentially become an apprentice with the city and ultimately end up in a job, a career in engineering and IT with the city of Baltimore. So the goal really, again, is it starts really with employers, right? Employers have to be able to give people an opportunity. And I'll give you an example, right? So in terms of Catalyte, we're obviously one of the partners here. The way that we do it, the way that we're able to find our talent is that we hire people based entirely on how they do on a 2-hour online screening, right? So we don't want to know anything about your background. The only requirement is that you have a high school diploma or GED. And as long as you have that, you can actually qualify to take the screening. And based on entirely how you do the screening, you're brought into a Catalyte program. We essentially bring you into a 6-month training program where you're put through the equivalent of a 2-year computer science degree. And on the back end of that, we hire you. We bring you on as an apprentice, and then we give you the experience that you need to become a professional engineer, professional developer. But to give you a sense of how we're able to do this, the key to understanding how this whole thing works is that, you know, skills are transitory, right? So this idea that to get a person to become a software developer, all you have to do is kind of put them through a boot camp or provide technical training, that's not true, right? Actually, today, what we find is like, you know, the technical skills itself, programming in any particular syntax or tech platform isn't the key point. The key thing actually is you have to be able to deliver technical training, but you also have to deliver behavioral or professional skills required to become successful. So for example, in engineering, we, you know, using outcome data and data science and, you know, our AI, we have a prediction model, right? And we've identified that there are discrete behaviors that actually drives long-term success and performance as an engineer. And as long as we find people who have similar attributes that predict for those same behaviors, we can very rapidly retrain them to become software engineers. And by the way, I mean, if you think about it, the profession of being a software engineer is that this is sort of the key to understanding why reskilling and retraining works now is that you think about traditionally, right? How do companies or how do people find engineers? Well, there's this myth that great, the best engineers are math nerds who got 4.0s in high school and went on to Stanford or MIT or Caltech and studied computer science. Well, the reality is that's not really true. If you look at Silicon Valley, look at the titans of the tech industry. Most of them be unhirable by the modern corporation. Most of the people who've actually built incredible, huge companies dropped out of college or didn't go to college at all. The best engineers weren't the people who actually had the best pedigrees. The best engineers are typically the kids who taught themselves how to code when they were younger, right? You have to continually acquire new skills, new knowledge, new competences to be relevant and to be successful in that career. So that's why if you look at the closest analogy, the closest profession, and by the way, IBM proved this like 40 years ago, the closest profession with the highest correlation with engineering is actually musicians. And it makes sense, right? If you think about what makes you a great musician, it's not where you went to school. Like you could send me to Juilliard or Peabody and I might be able to study under the greatest masters. And in a few years, I might be able to play some songs and I'll understand music theory. But you never become a great musician unless you jam, unless you play, right? It takes years and years of practice playing different kinds of music with different types of people. That's what makes you great, right? And that's the same thing being an engineer, right? And so much of this, and why is it, and bring it back to reskilling, like why is reskilling so important? Is employers have to realize that they have an active part to play in this whole equation. Because what it takes to get a person very quickly into these careers of the future is you need a program that rapidly gets them the skills that they need to be productive off the bat. But so much of actually what determines long-term success is behavioral, and that has to be delivered in the flow of the work, you know, on the job, right? I mean, you think about being an engineer, like one of the skills that's really important is your ability to work with different stakeholders, right, to build products. Well, you can't really simulate that in the classroom, right? It has to be delivered in the flow of the work on the job. And so, you know, a big part of what Catalyte does is that our technology platform not only helps people to identify talent and train that talent, it also helps the employers on the other side to be able to provide that precision feedback and coaching to continually course correct and nudge people up that learning curve such that, you know, we can show through data that at the end of a 2.5 year Catalyte sort of experience, an engineer coming out of that has the same skills and competences as an engineer who graduated from a 4-year technical degree with 5 years of work experience. And we've mapped that to industry standards of competence models.
That's an excellent way to describe that is that your degree, you don't need a degree, you need the aptitude.
That's right. And if you think about aptitude, to kind of roll back the covers a little bit in terms of like, for example, what we look for our screening, you know, you look at your typical resume or a LinkedIn profile, most employers are only picking up on 4 or 5 very weak signals. Where did a person go to school? Where they work? LinkedIn, you can tell how big their professional network might be and what their testimonials might be, what their friends say about them. But those are very weak signals. It doesn't really tell you a whole lot about how a person thinks. And so what our screening does is, you know, we have about 600 different prediction models in our screening. And, you know, we're looking for, you know, what predicts for a great engineer? You know, people who know how to, for example, synthesize complexity, take complex problems, break them to simpler pieces. People who exhibit fact-based or evidence-based decision-making. But the flip side of that is something we call cognitive agility, which is when the facts change, you change your mind, you change your decision. We want to see grit and tenacity, determination, right? We want to see people when they hit a hard problem, they stay with it. They keep hammering at it. They don't just skip over it and keep going. It's things like that, right? That forms a much more complete picture, a much more precise picture about how a person thinks. And that's actually, those are the attributes that actually predict are much better predictors of long-term success and long-term performance in terms of engineering. And now you can replicate that across lots and lots of different jobs and careers as long as you have that outcome data, as long as you have the data around what does success and excellence really mean in that profession.
Are you using that same model for Retrain America? Are you using that same set of determinants?
Yes. So Catalyte, you know, we're providing the software engineering track. So for those people who are interested in careers in software and technology, we'll be the partner there. But, you know, we are plugging and playing. As I mentioned, you know, we've essentially taken our entire talent development framework and we've essentially, you know, open sourced it so we can bring in different partners. So if you go to Retrain America, you'll find that there are other, for example, screening and assessment companies there, like Tradeify. We have other companies that are running their own types of aptitude programs. We have one company that's a civil engineering company that has their own approach to doing it. We have a cybersecurity company called Grim that's on board that also has their approach to doing it. So every company has a little bit of a different way of sort of assessing and screening for talent. But what we're doing is we're bringing in lots of different partners who can actually address different careers and different segments, professions for our people who are registering.
What led you to this? What made you decide to partner with these other companies to create this platform?
Well, I think a big part of this, and you know, we have an approach here at Catalyte that, you know, the people that we want to work with are really the enlightened companies, right? Companies that actually have made workforce development a core part of their strategy, who also recognize that it's a competitive advantage to be able to reskill and retrain. Which, by the way, is something that we could talk about later. But you know, one of the things I think just as disruptive as us showing the efficacy of retraining and reskilling, and you can provide, you know, you're able to provide, amazing careers for people. But on the flip side is on the employer side. You know, we've actually shown, we can prove today that the ROI of retraining and reskilling is actually 7 times higher than that of recruiting on the open market. Right, at least for our software engineering business. So there's actually a great commercial model. There's tremendous business commercial value that's being driven by retraining and reskilling, which, you know, I think is also sort of, you know, starting to kind of, I think that's starting to activate a lot of employers and realizing that the traditional way of hiring and workforce development is not sustainable. But taking it back again to sort of why did we choose the employers or partners that we did, today, you know, we continue to look for our employers. I mean, we're looking for people who are looking to make retraining and reskilling a core part of their strategy, and who also, again, recognize that aptitude and potential and ability is evenly distributed, even if opportunity hasn't been. And they want to give opportunities to people who may have been disqualified through traditional means for these careers of the future. So that's why, again, you know, the people who've come on board, they've really been big advocates. And frankly, a lot of them actually have been working with Catalyte in one way or another and have really bought into this model, who really recognize that this is something that really not only works, but is also a source of real competitive advantage for them.
Okay. And for anyone looking for training opportunities or other organizations who want to join Retrain America, they go to www.retrainamerica.com.
Yes, that's right. And we're still bringing on partners. So we have now over 36 who have actually signed on with us in terms of employer partners and retraining partners.
So where are these training opportunities? Where are you located around the country?
Well, a big part of why we decided to Retrain America is that it's really about sort of pulling together a coalition of partners, right? It's the people who are looking to be reskilled, the employers, government, training providers. And so it takes a coalition. And so as such, we're rolling this out state by state. We started first in Maryland, simply because Catalyte is headquartered here in Baltimore. So you sort of see this is sort of the epicenter of where it began, but we're rolling this out state by state. The next state that should be coming online will be South Carolina. And we have a number of states now that are also sort of in discussions around launching this. But it's open to anybody across the country. But right now we've started in terms of the first coalition here in Maryland.
Are there different needs in different communities?
There are, which I think is an important, and it's also an important part, right? Is that, you know, employment and workforce is ultimately local, right? You can make the argument that yes, today we have everyone's working from remote and maybe location matters less, but I think being local matters even more now. Stuff that used to be sort of delivered all over the world or has been globalized, suddenly in this COVID environment, you realize stuff that used to be delivered out of gleaming state-of-the-art development centers overseas doesn't really translate very well into a remote work-from-home environment, right? So you're seeing a lot more companies starting to realize that they have to bring a lot more work back to the core of where they are. And of course, ultimately, for any employer, you know, the people you're bringing on are going to be hopefully the people in your communities. So by design today, you know, Catalyte, you know, we're doing software and engineering. Well, that might work great in the places that we're operating, but it may not work great in other locations. And so we want to make this as tuned to the local communities as possible.
So if you're an individual looking for training or a group that would like to join Retrain America, you can go to www.retrainamerica.com for more information and to sign up. Thank you, Jake Hsu, CEO of Catalyte. I really appreciated you joining me today to talk about Retrain America.
Thank you, Ramona. I really enjoyed it.
That's it for this episode of Work in Progress. Our producer is Larry Buell. Our executive producers are Melissa Panzer and Joan Lynch. Talk to you next time.